Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another thought-provoking edition of Cosmic Horizons Radio, streaming out live to the world from our bunker just north of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We have a great show lined up for all you Blog Talk Radio listeners and Cosmic Horizons listeners. We have Linda from the Georgina Paranormal Society. And what are we going to talk about? Well, you guess it. We're going to talk about paranormal entities and those shadow people that seem to be appearing all of a sudden to me and other people that I know. Where do these people come from? Are they in another dimension trying to get through? This and more on Cosmic Horizons Radio. You can call us live at 646-668-8269, or you can join us in our real-time chat room. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you Linda from the Georgina Paranormal Society. Welcome, Georgina. Georgina, welcome, Linda from the Georgina Paranormal Society.
Well, thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I found your society on the web while I was searching for guests, and since you're very close to us here just north of Toronto, I dug a little bit deeper and I found your organization is involved in a lot of paranormal activity, and it's great to see such an organization such as yours really investigating a lot of these things that some people seem to laugh off and think that they don't really happen or they're not really there. But you and your team have uncovered a lot of things that are going on.
Oh, yeah. We actually have our mission statement in place. It's been in place for quite a while, since 2012. That's when I started the GPS, as we like to call ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But basically our mission is to help those who believe that they are either haunted or that they've encountered some sort of unexplained occurrence or event. And most people who do tend to think that they're alone in this and that, they're crazy, or people might think they're a little crazy if they even bring up the topic. So because of that, we decided to, go out there and try and connect people who've had similar experiences.
Now, what's your definition of a haunting? A lot of people have different explanations of hauntings. What have you uncovered with your organization in regards to what is the real meaning of a haunting?
Well, a haunting, you're right. I mean, it's very personal. And really, a haunting experience is a very personal and very subjective experience. Basically, a haunting is a place or a circumstance or a happening that is not easily explained by any kind of natural phenomenon. It is something that, or a place that seems to have things occur that are very much unexplained.
Now, your organization is involved with seeking out these entities that I don't like to call them ghosts. Or I like to call them entities, but really I guess the fashionable term are ghosts. Now, what equipment do you take to find these entities? Do you take infrared cameras, sound recorders, or say if my place, I feel somehow that this place is being haunted or there's a ghost here that just doesn't want to leave. How do you go about coming into my home to investigate it?
Well, normally what we do is if someone reaches out to us and they're having an issue, we go for a preliminary interview and we try to sort of ascertain what's going on and get a feel of the environment. So we'll walk around the premises and we'll also engage the person by telling them that it would be helpful to write a log of the times, dates, and circumstances that happened so that we can sort of find some kind of maybe underlying reason or some kind of common denominator that might link the experiences. And then we will go in with your normal, ordinary devices. We have digital voice recorders, digital cameras, EMF detectors. We have light pens. We've got all kinds of things that we use in order to help us along the way. We also have a spirit box, and I'm kind of, well, you know what, I'm on the edge with those. I think they can be helpful, but at the same time, depending on the time of day, they can pick up on other things. So you've got to be really attuned to the way that they work.
Now, what exactly is this? You mentioned it was a spirit box, you call it?
Yeah. We invested in a PSB 7 spirit box. There is a PSB 11 spirit box, but we don't have one. We have a PSB 7, which basically scans AM and FM frequencies in the area. And what it does is it creates white noise. And essentially, the white noise is what spirit can speak through. So we've had some success with it, specifically up here in Keswick, which is north of Toronto. We went to test our equipment when we got it, and we got some very compelling voices coming through, and voices that were not very friendly, actually, telling us in real time, in answer to our questions, telling us that they wanted us to leave immediately. They were not happy with our presence there.
Now, have you your team have been encountered any kind of paranormal activity that you seem there might be some harm coming your way? Because I know I've talked to other people in your business, such as paranormal investigation. Sometimes they feel like they're going to a room that they really shouldn't be in, and they proceed, and they think it's probably not in their best interest to go a little further. Have you found that in any of your investigations?
We have heard voices that were not happy. We've encountered some feelings that we weren't too happy with. So, yes, I will say that we have, absolutely. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for about 34 years, long before it was fashionable to do so. And in my experience, throughout those years, there have been times where I have felt maybe compromised spiritually or physically by something that I haven't seen. And normally when that happens, you know, you tend to retreat. You have to be very respectful of the environment. And oftentimes when you come into contact with this, you do seek help outside of perhaps your realm of expertise.
And what would that help be, Linda?
Well, for instance, way back when, I did encounter something that was not helpful, not friendly, not nice, in a home in Quebec. I'm actually from Montreal, having moved to Ontario 31 years ago, long time ago. But I had been involved in the paranormal back then. And the lady whose home that this particular entity was in was very religious. So what I tend to do is I tend to ask the person what they feel comfortable with. If they want somebody, perhaps in this case a priest, to come in and bless the home and sort of take back the energy, tell the energy, you know, that it's not welcome there. And of course, she agreed. And believe it or not, after the home was blessed, it did leave. And the priest was very honest with both of us and said that, yes, he did feel that it was not happy. that he wasn't sure what it was, but he is as well felt a bit compromised, but told it to leave. But I'm very respectful of the people in the home and how they feel in their environment. So whatever they're comfortable with, if they're not religious, they may want perhaps a shaman to come in. They want someone perhaps to come and smudge their home or do some kind of a ritual to perhaps get the energies out.
Would you call that an exorcism, or that's completely different?
Well, an exorcism, I think, is a little more intense. I've never been involved in a case that needed an exorcism, perhaps just a gentle coaxing, more so than I was able to do.
Well, it's very interesting that we brought that up, because the other investigators that I talked to a little while ago, they said in order to prepare themselves to go into a place where they feel very uncomfortable or compromised, they have to really have a put themselves in a different mindset, because if the spirit or the entity finds out in a certain way that they might be scared or they might be vulnerable, they can actually enter that person. Now, I don't know if you have ever heard of anything like that at all, but some of the people that I've talked to have actually prepared themselves because of that.
Yeah, I think it's really important that if you are a paranormal investigator, that you you treat the field with the utmost respect. You treat the entities with the utmost respect, and be aware that you're not the only thing in your environment, that there are things out there that you do have to protect yourself against, and that I believe can be very aggressive, particularly if they know that you're afraid. So fear is something that I think draws them to you.
Well, I totally agree, and that's another kudos to the people such as your organization that investigates that stuff, because a lot of people aren't believers of this, but there has to be another spirit world out there, or when you pass on, you're caught in between two dimensions. Now, there's another thing I've kind of wanted to ask you. A couple people that I've known have called what they call shadow people, that they see people in the corner of their eye, or they see a flash go in front of them, but they can't really tell what it is. And I've had an encounter in two with a few what I like to call shadow people, but you look around, you feel a brush, but there's nobody there.
Right.
Is there such a thing as that?
Yeah, I believe that there absolutely is. I mean, I've been in the field a long time, and I can't tell you how many people have told me that that's probably the most popular form of a haunting experience, is to experience that kind of thing where you'll see something out of the corner of your eye. You can't really make out what it is. Or some people actually see a shadow figure that is dark, usually either black or dark gray, sometimes very, very tall, sometimes with red eyes, sometimes with a top hat, and sometimes with nothing at all, no discernible features at all. They're just tall and dark and menacing, and as quickly as they appear, they can disappear as well.
Well, I'm very glad you brought that up, because a little while ago, I ran into an encounter such as that. We were down visiting a person that had been deceased in a graveyard in the west end of Toronto. And we were sitting outside in the car waiting, just munching on our snack and our cup of coffee, when again, this was broad daylight, a person that, such as you mentioned, long black coat, a black hat, went right by, but I was looking and I couldn't find a face. I couldn't see a face. And where the cemetery was, there was a iron gate and then the brick wall of the house. So there's no way the person could scale the gate, because they were just like in front of me. But this entity took a small right turn, a small alley to the that separated the store from the cemetery, which was a long gate. And all of a sudden, the person came back, went right by me, walked across the street in the green light, and disappeared in the graveyard across the street. And
incredible.
I wasn't alone. I had a partner with me at the time to witness the whole thing as well. I thought, is this coffee too strong? I don't think I'll do Starbucks again. Maybe I'll go down to Tim Hortons maybe next time. I won't see all these things.
I love it. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know, it's funny because there's so many different interpretations of what these shadow figures are. Some people actually believe that they are images of the deceased. Mm-hmm. And some people will claim that these are entities that have never actually been human before, which is quite an interesting thing when you think about it. They try to emulate what they believe a human figure looks like. You know, maybe they feel that humans wear coats and hats and mm-hmm. I don't know, or maybe they feel that they're tall and dark. Some people actually claim that they're extraterrestrials.
Shapeshifters, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of people that absolutely do agree with that train of thought, and it's very interesting that I think next time I go, I won't be trying the Starbucks coffee next door, that's for sure. well, I was going to ask you, I looked into a few of your photographs, and they're quite amazing, some of the photographs, and you can actually see the figures in the some of the photographs that you have on your site. Now, do you see these things as you are taking them, or do you see them after the film is developed digitally?
Normally, we see them after we take them. We don't see them with the naked eye. We don't see them as we're taking the picture. We have a couple of really interesting ones, and I'm sure these are the ones to which you're referring. We did an investigation in 2012, right when the society was formed, of a very active home in Keswick, and it was on the lake. And we got some amazing pictures of mist figures. Those are probably the ones that you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
One actually looks like a creature. It looks like either a wolf or something like that with glowing eyes. And the other one looks like an old lady. And it's quite interesting because my assistant director, Chris, she has been my assistant director since day one. And she is also very clairvoyant. And often she will feel the need to take a picture. She'll sense that something is there and then just very quickly turn around and take a picture. And those pictures that she took actually yielded some incredible results. She saw the lady in her mind's eye before she took the picture, but there was really nobody there. And after the picture was taken, there she was.
Hmm.
So it was quite an experience. But normally when people do capture things on camera, they don't see them when they're taking the pictures. It's only afterwards that they do. And many people will claim that it's matrixing or pareidolia, the things that they actually do see, because the mind tends to like to make sense out of what it sees. And if it doesn't see anything immediate, then it will start working and try to make sense and then eventually come up with something.
Well, I noticed, too, in a few of your photos, there's the sign of orbs. Now, what are these orbs of light? Are they energy lights, or are they entities trying to get through? What's your definition of some of these orbs that are found in some of these photographs?
Well, it's interesting that you mention orbs, because orbs are probably one of the most debated thing in the paranormal field. Some paranormal investigators will tell you there's no such thing as orbs. Orbs are figments of your imagination. They are dust particles. They're camera glare. It's nothing more than dirt on your lens or moisture. But it's interesting in that, again, another set of paranormal investigators will then say, but in very active locations, we often will pick up on these seemingly energetic masses or energetic anomalies. And that's pretty much the best definition that an investigator can come up with, an investigator that believes that there is some sort of plausibility to these things. In our experience, we do capture a lot of what I can only say are orb anomalies. They're glowing balls of light that actually have their own light source. It's quite interesting.
Now, all these paranormal activities, such as in the pictures and the shadow people and the people that some people say is from the mist, which I can see it's probably not. It's caught as a real life entity on a digital camera.
Right.
What do you think these entities want? Do you think they want to get? They're in limbo or somewhere. Or they want to get out, or they want to stay where they are, and we are the intruders, not them.
You know, I've often thought that that would be the case as well. I mean, we're not really ever going to know until a ghost literally or an entity or a spirit or whatever you want to call it taps us on the shoulder and says, okay, so I really want to tell you what this is all about. So really, I mean, it's our best guess, and there's so many guesses. I mean, some people say that we can only glimpse into their level of existence, and some people say we can't at all glimpse into their level of existence. And you're right, some people will say that we're the intruders. I mean, there was that great movie with Nicole Kidman, I think it was called The Others, where, mm-hmm. you know, at the beginning of the movie, we all thought that there were ghosts, and then it turned out that they were the ghosts.
On your team that's involved there, you talked a little bit earlier about the clairvoyant, and Chris, no, I got to say this name right. I'll just use the first name, Chris.
Yes.
And they are the clairvoyant in the paranormal investigation. Do you find that it really helps having a clairvoyant in these investigations?
I'll tell you, I think it does, because they tend to have very keen senses, a keen sense of awareness. Often when you have people interested in the paranormal field, they're interested because they want to see a ghost, or they want to experience something odd, or you know, they're really into it for reasons that perhaps are personal to them, but they really don't have that developed sense of awareness. And when you do have somebody on your team that is clairvoyant, that has that extra developed sense of awareness about them, then there is an enhancement to the entire thing. I mean, there's an enhancement to the entire experience of investigating the paranormal or of speaking to someone who has had experiences, because these people, these clairvoyants, they do tend to be a little more sensitive, and they're sensitive not only to spirit, but also they're sensitive to the person, to the way that they feel about the experience that they're having. And it is really important, I think, if you're an investigator and if you're interested in helping the haunted, that you have that extra sense of I don't know, that you're able to put yourself in the shoes of that person and understand how they're coming to this experience and how it's making them feel.
Now, do you believe, this show has really gone fast, there's about 6 minutes left to go, but I wanted to touch on one thing. Do you think these entities are in limbo and they want to get out, or they just want to completely stay there? And I mentioned a little bit earlier, as they think that we are the intruder. Do you think they'll ever break through, as an old Doors song saying, break on through to the other side?
Right.
Do you
right,
think they'll ever
that.
Break on through?
You know what? I think that they do break on through. I think that if anything, we coexist, and they can come and go as they please and as they choose. I think that some of them like to stay because they've formed an attachment either with an object or a person or a location. And some, I think, live very happily on a level of existence that, you know, perhaps is maybe 3 feet up above ours. But they come and go as they please, and they do interact when circumstances are right, when energetic vibrations are right, or when the atmosphere is just so.
Well, we're in a little town called Newmarket, just north of Toronto, and you're in Keswick. And I notice a lot of the activity around your area, as well as around Newmarket, that they're not really saying anything. There's a lot of Aboriginal apparitions, I'd like to say. Sorry,
yeah.
I'll say it right now, Aboriginal hauntings.
Yes.
And I think it's because of the land that was here a long time ago, and some of the houses were built on sacred ground, that we're getting a lot of these entities lately all of a sudden with all this new construction going on.
Oh, I totally agree with that. We have been pretty much swamped with a lot of activity up here, and I think that's it. I think that, you know, when people come in and they bulldoze the land that was once sacred to, you know, the Chippewa or, you know, a certain area, I think that there are issues there that arise, and I don't think we've seen the last of it. I think it's going to continue.
Have you found the paranormal activity as heightened within the last year or so?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know whether the activity is heightened or whether people's awareness of the fact that, you know, there is paranormal activity is heightened. Because, honestly, 20 years ago, there was not, you know, as many shows on the paranormal or investigative teams out there. So there is a heightened awareness to all things paranormal.
Well, we've got about a couple minutes left in the show. We've got about 4 minutes left in the show. I'd like to give the listeners out there your website and any new investigations you're involved in right now.
Well, we have a couple of very private investigations on the go right now. people don't like us to divulge that information. But the website, yep, it's www.georginaparanormalsociety.weebly.com. We do have a free website, which is how we like to fly. We have meetings. We have an upcoming meeting every second month, so bi-monthly. We have meetings in the beautiful town of Sutton at the Forrest and Taylor Funeral Home, and they allow us to have the reception room for free, and we have free public meetings. Anybody can come. They can bring a friend. The next meeting is on the 30th, which is next week on Thursday, and it's 7 to 9 p.m., and we have a guest speaker, which we like to do because we really like to make it all about the community and about increasing people's awareness of the paranormal and all things that are related.
Now, have you had any strange activities happen in a funeral home?
We have had some people who have been very ultra-sensitive come to our meetings and only stay for a little while because they can't stand the active energy in there. That's pretty interesting.
Well, that's great. And you also had a TV series that you were in as well.
Yep, I was in season 3 of Paranormal Survivor. They hired me as one of their paranormal experts, which I think is funny because really nobody is a paranormal expert. We're all kind of pioneers in the field, I think, and we're all going out there trying to find plausible explanations. But, you know, it's really nice when we can help people out there. So really we're not experts, but we're doing our best to help for sure.
It's great to see everybody on your team, the other investigators, as well as Chris, the clairvoyant, and everybody seems to gel together to get to find out a little bit more about these hauntings and maybe try to reach out and see what the problem is or rid the entity from the house or the apartment.
Right. I think that's important that people feel safe in their environment, and we like to give people a safe forum when we have our meetings to come forward and share their experiences because, let's face it, you know, a lot of people really do think that they're crazy, and if there's a safe place to go where you can have like-minded people with like-minded experiences and conversations, then I think that's a real wonderful thing.
Well, we're going to touch base to you hopefully in the new year to find out, you know, what's going on, what other investigations have you uncovered, and what are you doing up there in Keswick, and there's lots going on, and maybe in Newmarket you can have a seminar down in this area sometime.
That would be wonderful. We'd love to do that, and I'm really, really so grateful for you to have me on your show. Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Well, thanks a lot, Linda, and we'll talk to you very soon, and we'll get you on another edition of Blog Talk Radio, Cosmic Horizons Radio.
Thank you so much. That'd be great.
Thank you very much, Linda. Good night.
Thanks. Good night.
You're listening to Cosmic Horizons Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in, and hope you have a good evening. Until next time. And remember, someone's out there always watching you. Watch them. Good night.